Amen. So go with me, please, to Hebrews 11. This is where we've been starting. And we're going to go from there to Matthew 6:33, because they hold hands with each other. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, in the J.B. Phillips New Testament, that's what I've been sharing for this particular verse, says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, that God exists. And secondly, that it's worth a man's while to try to find God." And this is a case where it says two things, but this is like when Jesus said, the second is like unto it. Because you're not going to go to try and find out or find someone that you don't believe exists. So we have to believe that God exists, and we have to believe it's worth our while to find him. Find him. That said, Matthew 6:33 holds on to that. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And the key words there are, "Seek ye first." That means the first thing we should do anytime any situation pops up is seek God. Why? Well, he's the one that said before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew all about us. He's the one that said he knows the thoughts he has for us, thought to prosper us and not harm us, to give us hope and an expected end. So anything that comes up that's going to try and disturb our expected end, Father already knows about it, so we need to seek him so we'll always respond accordingly, always do the right thing because of it. The Passion Translation of Matthew 6:33 starts out by saying, "So above all." And that gave some revelation, because above all means above anything and everything. It means more than anything. And when you say above all, you're indicating that the thing you are mentioning is the most important point to be made. So it says, above all, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these less important things, all of these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Abundantly. That means all of the things that you're fretting about, all the things you're worrying about, all of the things you're becoming anxious about, if you would just let them go and seek God's kingdom first, he says all of those less, he's already telling us, they're less important. Less important. Not as important as seeking first the kingdom. And he's talking, you know, he's talking about things like people, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? You know, I need. When you're too busy looking at your need, you're missing something. I'm going to share that in Matthew 6:31, verse 31 and 33, but I'm sharing out of Johnson's paraphrase because I want you to see what you're missing. It says, "Again, I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes?" All of this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. So when you're busy seeking after stuff and things, you are giving that your full attention. Well, if you give something your full attention, do you have any attention left for anything else? No, because you've given your full attention to something that God has said is less important. And we're not paying attention to God's kingdom. We're not paying attention to that. It's not getting any attention, much less our full attention. And the problem with that is, the reason it's not getting our attention is that we are unaware. We are so locked in to stuff that's going on in our lives and all around our lives, we are unaware of God's presence. And the scriptures tell us that in his presence is fullness of joy. So that means I'm so busy stressing out about stuff, my joy is not full. It says, I can assure you, continuing on in verse 32, I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware. Aware of what? Aware of all your physical needs. So you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. When you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. So this is letting us know that when we give God first priority, when we operate, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. When we operate by faith, we're operating in the spirit dimension based on the spirit dimension principles. And when we do that, we learn how to keep things in the proper perspective, and all this other stuff will take care of itself. But I have to stay locked in. You always hear that term, you know, with athletes, you know, when that batter is at the plate and the ball's coming in, he's locked in. He's not hearing the stands. He's not hearing anything else. He's locked in, looking at that ball come, ready to whale it with his, get his bat around to knock it out of the park. You get locked in. Those of you who are watching the NBA playoffs, so a superstar athlete at the free throw line could have put the game away, didn't stay locked in, missed both free throws. Cost him the game. Cost him the game. Got to stay locked in. Say, I have to stay locked in to God and the spirit dimension. See, we don't ever want to be unaware of God's presence because we want our joy to be full. We don't want to be spiritually weak because we're walking by faith and we want our faith strong and to get strong for spending time in the spirit dimension with God. We are no longer concerned about any other thing because of what God declared in Hebrews 13:5 in the Passion Translation. He said to us, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life. So God not only said that he's never going to leave us, he's never going to even release or reduce his grip. He's going to keep holding us, keep holding our lives tightly. And if we're not sensing that, our priorities are out of order. And if our priorities are out of order, that means we're wasting our time going after things and stuff and things and neglecting the spirit realm. God said, give first priority to the spirit dimension and to setting all your relationships right. He said, when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. So if God is telling me other things will take care of themselves if I get a proper perspective, and I only get a proper perspective by having the first my first priority being the spirit dimension, guess where I need to spend more time? In the spirit dimension. In the spirit dimension. And one thing that brings you there, one thing that takes place when you are there, is worship. Worship. We're going to find out how when we worship, we get over into true worship. We don't care about anything else. And these other things do actually take care of themselves. Exodus 34, verse 14, King James Version, says, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Thou shalt worship no other God. When we give our attention to wants, needs, and desires, we are worshiping other gods. You ever stop to think for a moment? There's a phrase that I use, I guess I use it a lot when I'm talking to people, and they're telling me all the things they're doing aside from trusting and believing the word of God. I ask this question, how's it working for you? And they always look at me and smile, and I said, no, is it work? What, the way you're handling it, is it working? Well, Pastor, no, not really. Then why do you keep doing it? Why would you keep doing something that you've proven over and over and over and over that it does not work? You need to do something different. And worship is not just making God first, it's making him your one and only. In everything that crosses our path, we have to get, we should be giving God the worship. Worshiping God is also acknowledging that you believe he is. You're not going to worship something that you don't think is there. Worshiping God puts you in a position where you don't have to ask for anything because you're giving first priority to the spirit dimension, like it said in Matthew 6:33, and you're setting your relationships right. You're giving the proper perspective so these other things can take care of themselves. It's very important. When you worship God properly, you will be in the spirit dimension. When you are worshiping God properly, you will be in the spirit dimension. And I'll tell you what I base that on. Look at John 4, verse 23 and 24. I'm sharing it out of the Passion Translation. It reads, from now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with a right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him, where? In the realm of the spirit and in truth. True worshiping is adoring God in the spirit realm, in the spirit dimension. When you're doing that, you have your priorities in order. When you're doing that, all of your perspectives are in their proper place. And because of that, all of these things, all of this stuff, all this nonsense, all these distractions will take care of themselves. Whatever needs to happen will happen while you're worshiping. And if you don't know what worshiping is, it's just giving religious reverence and homage to God. You can do that to anything, but the worship really belongs to God. Especially for a believer, worshiping God is honoring God. And if we fail to give God first priority in the spirit realm, if we're not setting all of our relationships right, we will be unaware of his presence. And we'll be depriving God about what he desires and what he deserves. He deserves our worship just for who he is. He deserves it. But think about this. If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something else. And usually that something else is a circumstance, a need, a want, a desire, a person, a car, even for you young folks, a video game. You're going after those things, you're not worshiping God. That's why Pastor Ed and I, we encourage everyone we talk to, you have an issue, the first thing you want to do is go to God, worshiping him, and getting your direction from him. From him. Psalm 100, you don't have to go there, but it tells us in the Passion Translation to worship Yahweh with gladness. You sing your way into his presence. That means you don't come to God begging and complaining and grumbling about what's going on with him. You come to God excited. I was combining excite and shout. You come to God excited and shouting with joy because he's God. You just worship him just with a heart of gladness. Yes, even in the midst of some trying circumstances, because you know God's got it. God's got it. Verse 3 tells us we have the privilege of worshiping him, Yahweh, our God. For he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. So if we belong, since we belong to him, whatever the circumstance is, has no rights to us because we don't belong to a circumstance. We belong to God. We're his, he's ours. You're to give first priority to the spirit dimension. And you know, the question came up on Sunday. How do you know when you've gotten everything in the proper perspective? How do you know when you have things in the right order? How do you know that? I'll tell you, it's very simple. It's really like a trial by fire. When you're face to face with the enemy and you don't even blink, you got it going for you. When you're face to face with the enemy and you're not moved, as Barney Fife would say, you're not moved one iota by what the enemy is doing or saying or the ruckus he's causing, you're not moved by it. You stay locked in on whatever your task is. You got it. You got it. Because you're not moved by it. We talked about, I talked to you about Paul and Silas when they were arrested. Bible says they were severely beaten. They were stripped and severely beaten and thrown in prison. They never complained. Never asked God, why do I have to go through this? Instead, they worshiped God. Bible says at midnight they sang songs and hymns and offered up prayers, and the prisoners heard their worship. That's what the Bible says. The prisoners there heard their worship. Then, in the midst of their worship, a great earthquake came and shook the prison, shook it so hard that the doors to every cell came open. And every chain on every prisoner was unlocked. Why? Because Paul and Silas were worshiping God. And all of those other things that they needed took care of themselves. They gave first priority to worshiping God. First priority. They knew who they were. They had the proper perspective, so all the other things took care of themselves. And I see a similar account in Genesis. Look at Genesis 22. We're going to wind up going from verse 1 probably to, I don't know, around verse 18 or something, but we're not going to go directly there. We're going to stop along the way. But this is the account of Abraham and his son Isaac. You can read 3 or 4 chapters before on your own where you get the setting. I don't have time to go back that far. But in Genesis 22, the Amplified Bible Classic, says, after these events, God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I would tell you. Now, last night I was sitting down. I was kind of sort of watching the game, but I was distracted. The game was a distraction, I should say, because I was thinking about this. It just kept rising up, so I just turned the TV down and started doing some research. And I was reading up about burnt offerings. Burnt offerings is no joke, folks. Just to keep it simple, a burnt offering is a form of worship where the offering is presented whole and intact, and every bit of the offering is offered. There's no part of the burnt offering that's to be kept back by the worshiper. No part of it. That lets us know that when we are worshiping God, we should do it with the mindset like it's a burnt offering. We worship him giving all of ourself to him in our worship. Abraham was fully aware of what God was requesting when he said, offer his son as a burnt offering. And one of the key words in there is his only son. Yeah, I know about Ishmael, but Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was the one. It says in verse 3, so Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and then began the trip to the place of which God had told them. Then began the trip. So it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be convenient. But you always need to be obedient and worship the way God asks you to worship. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So now think about it. They've been traveling for 3 days and they weren't in a comfortable SUV. They had a donkey to carry, to bear the loads, and they walked for 3 days. And you think after 3 days, you look around, you would say, oh, there it is. Well, they did. They looked around after 3 days. They looked up and they saw the place not a few feet away in the distance. The Bible doesn't tell us the distance. But after 3 days, when they looked up and saw it in the distance, Abraham said to his servants, okay, settle down. Stay here with the donkey. And I and the young man will go yonder and worship. He said, I will go yonder and worship and come back again to you. Then Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his shoulders of Isaac, his son. And he took the fire pot in his own hand, and a knife, and the two of them went on together. And Isaac said to Abraham, and I'm sure there isn't anyone out there who wouldn't ask the same question, my father? And he said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, see, here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice? Abraham said, listen to this, my son, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went on together. God himself will provide. That sounds very much like the end of Matthew 6:33. It says you were to give first priority to the spirit dimension to settling all your relationships right. And when you get a proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. Abraham was keeping his relationship right with God. Abraham was keeping his priorities in the right order by continuing to do what God told him to do, knowing that by definition, it meant killing his only son. But Abraham was confident that if he worshiped the way God wanted, God would provide what he needed. Verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there. Then he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. That always amazes me that his son let himself be tied up. You know, I don't know how many of us sitting would sit quietly knowing what a burnt offering is and allowing ourselves to be tied up like the offering. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took hold of the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, here am I. And he said, do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear and revere God, since you have not held back from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son, because you haven't held back from your worship. You haven't helped. You were willing to give me everything that I wanted. Everything. Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering and ascending sacrifice instead of his son. That jumped out of off the screen at me, because Abraham thought that God was going to require him to kill his son. And then when that didn't happen, when the angel told him, don't lay a hand on your son, you would think Abraham would have picked his son up and hugged him. I'm so glad you're still here. I'm so glad I have you. I love you so much. Abraham didn't do that. His thoughts remained on his purpose for being there. His purpose for being there was to worship God with a burnt offering. That hadn't been fulfilled yet. He told Isaac when they were walking to this place, for the offering spot, he said, God himself will provide. So when the angel, after the angel told him, don't lay a hand on your son, what does Abraham do? He looks around for a sacrifice. Because he's still in the spirit dimension. He's still thinking, I have to worship God with a burnt offering. That's the only reason why we're here. And he looked around because the offering had to be there. And it was a ram in a bush. And Abraham took the ram and worshiped God by offering a burnt offering using the ram and not his son. So verse 14, so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it said to this day on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. When you study that word, you know, the phrase is Jehovah Jireh. When you study Jireh, it means on the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. On the mount of, and how do you get to the mount of the Lord? You get into the spirit realm and you will see what you need. You will see what you need to do. All of that seeing and knowing takes place on the mountain of the Lord, which is in the spirit realm, which is in the spirit dimension. Abraham was seeking first the kingdom of God, even if it meant the death of his son. He realized that as a burnt offering, he couldn't hold anything back from his worship. He was giving his all, and that's what we need to learn how to do. We need to stop treasuring things and prizing things so much we're not willing to let them go to give all of our worship to God. We're not willing to let them go so that we can get all our priorities in the right order. So we need to let them go so we can get our perspectives right, because once we do that, all of the things that we're concerned about will take care of themselves. All we have to do is worship our Father. Abraham was in the midst. Well, let me say it this way. You can just type me in the comments or whatever, you know, on whatever device you're using, if it's you. But have you ever been in a stressful situation? I'm sure the me's and whatever, everything should be flying up in the online tools. But in the midst of a stressful situation, Abraham didn't focus on the situation. He focused on doing what God said, offering a burnt offering as worship. He didn't go to God and say, God, listen, let's talk. Yeah, I know you want my son as a burnt offering. And you said my only son, but in reality, I do have another son. He said, but so have you considered Ishmael? You know, let me keep Isaac, but take Ishmael. I don't love him like I love Isaac anyway. Well, that's why God said, take your only son whom you love. Why? Because it's easy to give God something that you don't care about. It's easy to give that away. It's easy. You go out and buy yourself a Gucci bag, and God tell you to give it to a homeless person on the street, you say, I'm not giving my bag. But if you have an old one, you might. Well, I've had this for 8 years. I'm going to get me another one anyway. So yeah, no. When we talk about giving God your best, you know, we talk about your dress, your clothes. God wants your worship. He wants your heart. Give him the best. What is the best? What he asked for. Abraham stayed aware. He was always aware of God's presence. When you're aware of God's presence, your ear is in tune with his mouth, so to speak. Because think about it. Think what would have happened if Abraham was busy grumbling and complaining about having to sacrifice Isaac. See, that's why when it talks about giving, it says not grudgingly. Because you just picture Abraham. He's complaining, I don't know why God's having me do this. This is my only son. As he's laying out Isaac, and he's getting ready to light the fire, and he lifts up the knife, but he's so busy complaining, he doesn't hear the angel say, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. What happens then? No, you have to, God's presence is always with us, but we don't always hear it because we have our mouth going complaining about other stuff. Our hearts are full of anxiety because we're worried about other stuff. That's what it says about the sower. The cares of this world choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. We allow the cares of the world to choke our worship. And we don't keep first things first. We keep the circumstance in the forefront. And we turn around and we ask God, God, do something with this. God's saying, just worship me. Just worship me. We got this. But you have to worship me. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham, verse 15, Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that since you have done this and have not withheld from me or begrudged giving me your only son, God is saying, because you sought me first in blessing, I will bless you. And when it comes to blessings, I'll bless you. When it comes to multiplying, it says, in multiplying, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of the heaven and like sand on the seashore. And your seed, your heir, will possess the gate of his enemies. God is saying, you worship me, you don't hold back from me, you seek me. I'll multiply you like you've never been multiplied before. I'll bless you like you've never been blessed before. And everything that the enemy was trying to take or did take, I'm restoring. And not only restoring, I'm giving you everything he's got. Why? Because you worshiped me. That's why. Because as it says in Matthew 6:33, all these things shall be added unto you. He's telling Abraham, I'm adding these things. You'll possess the gates of your enemies. Verse 18, and in your seed, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves because you have heard and obeyed my voice. In the midst of a trying situation, God is asking for you to give him your all. And your all means the world to you. And you make a quality decision to put God first. All of the things that you ever longed for will be added. Will be added. Why? In Matthew 6:31-33, in a Johnson paraphrase, again I repeat, do not live with anxiety. Do not keep asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we get our clothes? All this continuous quest for more and more of the physical necessities occupies the full attention of those who are unaware of God's presence. I can assure you that your Father, the source of your being, is aware of your physical needs. You are. He didn't say think about doing it. He said you are to give first priority to the spirit dimension. That's a command, folks. You give first priority to the spirit dimension and to settling all your relationships right. If you're giving all of your attention to the spiritual dimension, you're walking in love. You're loving your neighbor. If you're giving all your attention and making the first priority the spirit dimension, you'll love one another the same way God loves you. If you're giving all your attention to the spirit dimension, you'll give what God tells you to give. You'll go where God tells you to go. You'll serve where God tells you to serve until God tells you not to. Period. It says, and when you get the proper perspective, these other things will take care of themselves. I made it very hard. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to let you go. But I made it very hard for my family because God told me to join the youth fellowship. Volunteer, you know, to come on staff in the volunteer staff for the youth fellowship. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't mind serving, but I didn't want to do that. So I became a host. Some of you may know that use the term usher. We used hosts and hostesses. So I became a host. And he let me host for a while, but stuff started happening. Relationships started just being stressed all the time. Can't get places on time, running late, getting into arguments with my wife, blaming her when it's really I'm the one that's in disobedient to God, and I'm complaining to God about it. And God never yelled at me. He just simply said to me, I told you to join the youth fellowship. And when I did, everything straightened out. Everything started going smoothly. See, when you're out there in disobedience, even the things that you do are good aren't going to benefit you. Because the bottom line is, you're not where God told you to be. You're not doing what he told you to do. I'm sure there were plenty of good sacrificing spots for Abraham that wouldn't have taken a 3 days journey. But God said, you go to a place I will show you. So that means you keep walking down the path, not even asking God, is this a place? How about this one? You just keep going until God says, here it is. And then you do what you were sent there to do. It's so important to realize or to understand that Abraham's mindset was, we're here to worship via a burnt offering, and we ain't leaving until we do it. Yes, he was happy that it wasn't his son, but he was still going to offer God the burnt offering that God desired and deserved. I don't know what's your burnt, whatever your burnt offering is, whatever that thing is that you're holding on to, that's preventing you from keeping your things in the right priority. You really want to make a quality decision to just let it go. Let it go so you can enter into the spirit dimension. Get your priorities in order, offering acceptable worship to God so that all these other things can work themselves out on your behalf. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, that you love the people so much. You care for them so much that you tell us all of even the little things that we have to do so that we can get everything that you have for us. So we get the full benefit of our worship, the full benefit of operating in the spirit dimension, the full benefit of being your child. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost who will draw to our attention every time we start veering off the path. Just ever so sweetly, you just tell us, that's not what Father said. That's not how you worship him. And when we hear that, Lord, we'll yield to it. Not because we want the stuff and things to cease, not because we want things added, but because we love you. And we want to worship you because you deserve it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Two quick things we need to do. If you're going to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, you need to have access to the spirit realm. Your access to the spirit realm is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father unless they come through me. And God had the Apostle Paul tell us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's just that simple. So I'm going to lead us in a brief confession. So if you're out there and you say this confession and you mean it, and it's the first time you've done so, you're born again. You now have access to the kingdom realm, to the spiritual dimension. So just say, Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross, went to hell, and stayed there 3 days in my place. But I believe after the third day, you raised him from the dead, and he's now seated at your right hand, and he's coming again soon. So Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you to make something new of me. Folks, that's it. Simple. If you confess that for the first time and you meant it in your heart, you're now born again. You're now a brother or a sister in Christ. And if you see some contact, there's contact information. Please use it. Contact us. I said that prayer with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. We will send you free information just to let you know who you are as a born-again believer, what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, and help get you start out on the right foot, so to speak. Like James Brown, get on the good foot. That's what we want you to start out on. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything that we shared this evening, use that same information. Contact me. I may not answer you the same day, but I promise you, I will get back to you.